At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids spending and saving while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini Guy Mike Kegley, and I am proud to have on Matt Stevens, the Illini Guy's staff writer and beat reporter who has been diligently covering the Fighting Illini football program as they have started their fall practice in the build-up to the opener against Toledo on Saturday, September 2nd. Going to be an exciting game. 6:30 kickoff time. Everybody is raring to go. And of course, at Illini Guys, we're having the outing at Guido's the night before on Friday, September 1st. So make sure you're there 7 o'clock. It should be a ton of fun. $20 to get in. There will be all sorts of Illini legends there. You can obviously meet Larry, Brad, and myself. We'll also have Matt and Ked, all sorts of people from the Illini Guys. It should be a blast. It was fantastic last year. And certainly we look forward to seeing many of our Illini legend friends again on September 1st, the night before the first football game. So we will be back in just a minute with Matt Stevens. Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by broadcasting on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. We have over 20 stations, including stations in Chicago, St. Louis, Champaign, Decatur, Springfield, Bloomington, the Quad Cities, Rockford, Peoria, Marion, Quincy, and Jacksonville, amongst others. You can reach over 11 million people in the state of Illinois by partnering with us. Send me an email, mike@IlliniGuys.com, and let's find a way that we can build your business together. And we're back, and as promised, Matt Stevens is here, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about what we have going on the field for those Fighting Illini football team that really has this whole Fighting Illini fan base pretty excited about this season, Matt. First off, before we even start, you know, what's the mood of the team, you know, as you've been talking to the coaches and the players?
I think there's a little bit more of a, I don't want to say arrogance, but there's a confidence that that just kind of, you know, circles around the Smith Center as they get done with what we're out. This is Tuesday, then the evening of Tuesday, the 15th of August. So this is after practice 10 of the preseason. And so, but I noticed that when they went, you know, Bielema and the three players went to Indianapolis for Big Ten Football Media Day. These guys are just talking like, we should be expected to win the West and we should be contenders in the Big Ten. And these guys are talking that way. And I just don't think a lot of people at Illinois are fully used to, you know, having a team feel this way as they just kind of walk around the building and as they, you know, get through their workouts and got through winter conditioning and got through the spring and got through 10 practices right now. You feel a lot of guys that they just feel settled at where they are, just from a developmental standpoint. And I know that's a lot of buzzword language, but there's a lot of pieces that have left this building that are in the National Football League as of right now. And based off of last year's production. And I think that there's a lot of pieces and questions that need to be figured out. And we probably won't know them until toe hits leather on September 2nd. And they host the defending MAC champions, Toledo Rockets. But at Memorial Stadium, but I really think that there's a lot of questions inside the building that they have answered. And they're actually, I think these coaches, I wouldn't even consider these coaches, a lot of them, excited about what they're going to do. I think that there's an air of, this is, we finally now can, you know, present to the fan base and to the world, quote unquote, like, this is who we are. And this program has an identity. It bleeds from the top, and that's from Brett Bielema all the way down. And I really like what I've seen out of this camp, in the sense that I think a lot of these coaches have stuck around since the day they were hired by Brett Bielema in January of 2021. And I think that there's just this air of, well, we're going to do what we do, and we think that we're just as good as everybody else in this league. And we think that we proved it, but I also think that there's this air of confidence, but yet there's this, you know, bad taste in their mouth after the 1-4 finish. Brett Bielema has talked about that too. And so that's kind of been the rallying cry of, hey, we had two times of seasons last year. We started out 7-1 and we finished 1-4. And quite frankly, Mike, Brett Bielema has never finished a season that way. His teams have always gotten better as the season have gone along. I think this is the one time where he's looked back at a season and went, boy, we didn't get better, you know, each month. And I that's on me, and that's on what I did with this team. And I think that's going to be a major point of emphasis as this team kind of goes along as well.
Well, you know, and you have a reason for the players now to pay attention, because that finish was not where Illini fans wanted it to. Some people would say that, you know, again, the schedule got a little tougher. And the other part is, you know, if you got all the breaks in that part of the schedule that took you to 7-1, you didn't get as many, and that helped maybe the finish be there as well. And I think we all talk about how the calls and the luck factor tends to even out over the course of the year. And it certainly slowed down a little bit for the Illini in the close. So as we look at this, this offense, what are you hearing about, in particular? I guess the thing that people are going to want to know is, you know, how's Luke? I mean, that's the bottom line is, he's a quarterback, and whether you're in the NFL, college, high school, or peewee league, you need a quarterback. So that's the first question. How's the offensive line is the second question. And what are we going to be able to match Chase Brown with a tailback by committee?
Okay. Well, I'll go down the line on these. I think Luke looks great. Look, Wednesday is my birthday. I think a week after my birthday, they'll name Luke the starting quarterback officially on social media. I can't believe it's actually taken this long. To be honest with you, Mike, you did a podcast with me after I was done with the non-televised spring scrimmage, whatever you want to call it, at Memorial Stadium.
Yep.
Where Luke Altmyer took every rep. And I'm sorry, but like, we could have done this then. I mean, there's things that Brett Bielema does where I just go, you're screwing with us, aren't you? You're just really, really just making us dance.
Well, if you never know, then the right. opposing coaches can never figure out what he's doing.
I understand. He's taken every first rep that we've watched in media viewing. He's the first in line for every drill. He's the starting quarterback. Let's get that out of the way right now. So, okay, now you go with, can he match Tommy DeVito's, you know, basically production from 2022? And I think he can. The problem with Luke is this. I think there's a sense that there is this sense from, I guess, my colleagues on the beat, and then I guess the Illini faithful, that he is this brand new quarterback, and I just don't treat Luke that way. I watched 2 years ago when Matt Corral's leg was pointed in the wrong direction while he was laying on the turf at the New Orleans Superdome, and Luke Altmyer played 3/4 of a Sugar Bowl against a top 10 defense in Baylor and looked pretty darn good. And so he's been thrown into the fire for both of his years that he was with Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. And look, he doesn't have the swagger of Tommy DeVito. I mean, everybody at Illini Guys met Tommy DeVito's parents at, you know, the first season opener. We know where that came from. Apple, as my grandfather once always said, apple tree.
Yep.
And nobody has the swagger of Tommy DeVito. Luke is a different kind of cat, and he has a different kind of background. He's a different kind of person. He's very, very, we've had three media gaggles with him. I've had to ask him to speak up twice. He's just that kind of person. He's very, very spiritual. He can be very, very quiet. But he is a leader. And honest to God, you talk to Isaiah Williams and they know who their quarterback is. They know who their leader is. And it's Luke Altmyer. And his experience at Ole Miss wasn't very good. And I'm not going to sugarcoat this. And I think that has painted what Luke Altmyer wanted in the transfer portal. And I think this is a better situation for him, but he's not going to be a rah-rah guy. But on the field, he's looked fine. I think that the fact of the matter is I think Luke has more experience and has more football savvy and has a higher football IQ than his experience and you know, essentially career pass attempts in college right now would suggest. So I think that's a good thing. But I get this question a lot. Is Illinois going to throw it more than they did last year? I don't think so. Because I just don't think, first of all, again, I don't think that Luke Altmyer has the game experience that Tommy DeVito had coming in. Okay. And so I don't think they want to put, you know, that kind of a load on Luke Altmyer. And I don't think this team is ever going to be set up to do that. I just don't. So what I do think and what I do know about Luke and what everybody has told me about Luke, going all the way back to his Elite 11 camp, going all the way back to Starkville High School, going all the way back to people I've talked to at Ole Miss, very, very rarely, unless Luke is just kind of winging it around like he did in the Sugar Bowl with nothing to lose, very rarely does Luke put the ball in a dangerous position. So I do think there's this sense that I think there's going to be more turnovers because Luke doesn't have this experience. And I just don't think Barry and Brett and everybody on offense is going to allow that to happen for Luke. I really think that Luke is going to have to, you know, using the baseball analogy, he's going to have to hit singles and doubles before they ask him to hit home runs. But he does have the arm strength and he does have the pop in that arm to throw the deep ball. And I actually think throwing more accurate deep ball than Tommy could, believe it or not. So I think from a skill set standpoint, Luke could get better as the season goes on if he can stay healthy. Well, that leads you into the offensive line. And I think the left side of the offensive line might be the best left side in the Big Ten. It may be one of the best left sides in the country with Isaiah Adams at left guard and Julian Perreault at left tackle. I have said this since the spring. The people on the message boards have questioned me about it since the spring. I think Josh Kreutz is made to play center here. And I think I know what Brett Bielema wanted to do. I know what they wanted when they brought in Avery Jones. I was totally for it. I thought that was a home run, you know, 1 year thing that they could do at center. He was made to play in Barry's offense. I get what they were trying to do in the portal. And so, you know what? So does Josh Kreutz. I mean, but it didn't work out. And as I've written on Illini Guys, which you tend to not want to do to Olin Kreutz's son, it ticked him off.
Well, it kind of works, though, right?
Right. It does. It worked in the way that you can do that with Olin Kreutz's son, because Josh isn't going to go anywhere. He's not going to go in the portal. The minute you find out you're looking for centers in the portal, he's just going to work his tail off. And I think that they can do a lot of things. You know, I'll be writing about that on Illini Guys in the run game with Kreutz, because he's a more athletic, I would say, Doug Kramer type center than Alex Pilstrom was. Pilstrom was, you know, more length. He was actually bigger than Doug. Doug was kind of, you know, Brett called him like a weeble wobble. Like he was very, very short, compact, 300 pounds, always was considered undersized. That's exactly what Josh is, but they could do a lot of cool things with the run game because he can pull, he can do a lot of creative things. And just like his dad, he's freaking nasty. And he's aggressive. So he's an aggressive kid. So I like Josh Kreutz. The problem since the spring has always been the right side of the offensive line. And I think they're getting answers to that in a way that they probably didn't want to, because again, as we look at the calendar today, it's Tuesday. And I just came back from practice and Zy Chrysler's got a boot on his right foot. And to me, that answers the question of what the right side is going to look like unless Zy Chrysler can get back, which is Jordan Slaughter is now your right guard and Josh Gatzke is your right tackle. Oh, by the way, that's exactly what the line looked like in the spring. So it's not like Barry Lunny has to just totally rework the offense and Bart Miller has to rework his line. This is what they've been doing because Zy Chrysler missed the entire spring because of offseason surgery. So when Zy Chrysler gets back, I think that they've got some options with the swing guy if they want to throw him back in the lineup or whatever. I think the offensive line is okay. I think they're going to be one of the better ones in the Big Ten if everybody can gel. And I think that there's a lot of confidence in that as well, that when we lead into, okay, can Illinois run the football? Yeah, the Illinois can run the football. And it's not a matter of, you know, I do appreciate Brett Bielema's answer on this, is that, no, we're not going to replicate Chase Brown's production. You know, we're not going to replicate who Chase Brown is. Excuse me. He was an All-American, Doak Walker Award finalist. We don't have that back singularly in our room right now, but we have three of them that we think we can replicate the production.
Yeah.
Meaning, you know, if we can get Josh McCray through 13 games completely healthy, if we can get Reggie Love completely healthy through 13 games, and then if we can get a third back in that room, that's exactly what Brett Bielema did. I've told this since the minute he got hired, but, you know, Illini fans, please go watch the 2012 Big Ten title game where Wisconsin played Nebraska. And there was a back named Monty Ball. There was a back, you know, named James White. And then there was a freshman back named Melvin Gordon. They all played in the NFL. They all played for that Badgers team, and they all got 100 yards in that game. And they all got over 4 yards a carry that season. And I think that Brett Bielema knows how to do the back by committee thing. And I think that it's going to be just fine. I'd like to see Josh McCray stay healthy because I think he can be a spectacular back in the Big Ten if he stays healthy. And I think Reggie Love has the capability of being a 4 yard type back. Here's where I think Barry Lunny kind of showed his cards, at least to us in the media, without a lot of people knowing what he was talking about. And we were talking to him about early downs, Mike, and how Illinois needs to be more efficient in early downs. And he basically said, well, we're not chasing 4 yards in a cloud of dust, but we want 4 yards on first down. And I'm sorry, Mike, I don't see a whole lot of plays that get scripted in the pass game for 4 yards. And so I do think Illinois is going to run the ball on first down because I think they realize that with Luke Altmyer, second and seven, even if they don't get 4 yards, second and seven is a heck of a lot better than second and 10.
Exactly.
And I think, and they feel that way. I'm intrigued by, I have been a pump the brakes guy on these wide receivers, you know, since the spring. And I think there's a lot of excitement, at least inside the building, about what these guys can produce. And what intrigues me is the idea that I think Pat Bryant could take a step forward in the pass game as a receiver. They know that Isaiah Williams has the capability of being a dynamic playmaker in the receiving game. And there's somebody else. I think Casey Washington's going to be solid in everything that they ask him to do. And I think he's going to get a lot of playing time. There's somebody else in that room that they're really, really excited about. I'm not entirely sure it's Malik Elzey yet, but I think that they're excited about him. But there's a fourth wide receiver or a fifth wide receiver in that room that they feel like they can put on the field and be pretty solid with, which is saying something because that room has really never been that deep in terms of playmakers since Brett Bielema took over. And I think George McDonald feels like, is that Sean Miller, who's been hurt for 2 years now and, you know, has never been able to put together what he was, you know, promised to be out of IMG. I think that that's a possibility. Is it Malik Elzey? It's a possibility.
It'd be both.
Yeah. I mean, it could be both of those guys because they played different positions as well. Could it be, you know, Colin Dixon, who's also the other freshman who gets overshadowed by Malik Elzey? It's possible. Could it be Kanari Wiltshire, who actually was the only freshman receiver who showed up in the spring? That's very, very possible. You know, they have a lot more options, and I think that they're going to utilize those options. The key to me offensively, I mean, I feel like I'm going down the depth chart here, is tight end. because for the first time since I took over this beat, which is when Lovie Smith was the head coach, these guys have a tight end coach again. And Ben Miller has fought his cancer and has been forced to be taken off the field. Since that happened, they've had graduate assistants and guys that are coaching them. Now they have Robbie Disher, who's coaching them, and he really likes the group that he's got, led by Tip Riman. And so can they help in the pass game too? Because Brett Bielema always believes in having a tight end on the field, and I do think that Tip's going to be able to help in the run game. I have heard a lot of healthy things about Tanner Arkin, the transfer from Colorado State, possibly being able to help in the pass game. And then he's hurt right now, has been for a little bit in preseason camp. But Robbie Disher loves him some Henry Boyer, you know, the tight end from Brother Rice. I do see him potentially getting on the field a lot in the run game because he's just nasty. I have relayed to a couple of coaches that the head football coach stood on a field at Kankakee High School and told me a story about every third day he's having to pull Henry Boyer off somebody because his freshman year he just wanted to fight somebody. And so there is a nastiness to his game, and at 270 pounds, people don't understand this, but he was split out wide in the slot at Brother Rice in their offense, and so he is familiar with the pass game. So I have high hopes of Henry Boyer if he can get back healthy. So there is a lot of options on offense, but Barry Lunny has to figure out a way in the red zone to punch the ball in for six instead of kicking field goals, and that's what they did a lot last year, and that's what set them back. It set them back, you know, in pretty much all of their losses. And I talked to Bart Miller about this, and he said to me, he goes, I can look at the Indiana game, I can look at the Michigan State game, he says, and I can look at the bowl game where we didn't do our job as an offensive line, and in the red zone, that's why we stunk. And it really starts up front for them. And if they can be better in the red zone, I think that they can be better on offense. And I think that that's certainly the goal for year two of Barry Lunny.
Yeah. And that it goes back to a few things. First down. Now, obviously there's a segment of Illini fans who are terrified that, we get back to we have to run every first down. But it would also be nice to have a little more consistency out of the tight end position, which was definitely one that you didn't quite know what was going to happen. You could see a world beater block, or you could see an incredible missed block back to back and not really know what you were getting in particular at times, depending on who's in the game. When we go over to the defensive part of this team, this is the front seven is formidable as heck. But we got obviously a bunch of new defensive backs. How are things looking with the defense?
Well, we know who's up front. We know the law firm's up front. I think it's going to be a consistency of T.Rod Edwards and Darnell Daxon, the transfer from Ohio, in that nose tackle spot that's being taken up now. I think both of them are going to get a significant amount of snaps inside the law firm in that three-man front. I do think your outside linebacker spots are pretty well taken. I think our new Illini guy, Gabe Yakis, is going to have an opportunity to have one heck of a, you know, second season after a freshman All-American campaign. I think he's somebody that they can rely on in the pass rush, and Charlie Bullen has just raved about his ability to not only work, you know, the power rush, which he showed his freshman year, but I think that he has the ability to up his game in terms of, you know, speed rush, in terms of being able to use more of his hands than he has been before. And I think that he has the opportunity to be a really good, big game changer. Seth Coleman's just freaking long. I think he has the physical tools of somebody who's going to be in the NFL just because of his body type and the way that he can use it. He has an ability to be a pass rushing specialist as well. And then I think that Tyreek Barnes is, you know, somebody who got overlooked for the Butkus Award watch list, and I think could have a type of an early season to where he's on that, you know, by the end of September. My question starts with that weak side backer position that Andy Boo puts so much responsibility on, and it's why Isaac Darkangelo last year led the team in tackles. That's gone now. And so, you know, is it KO? Is it Dylan Rosiak? I think it's one of those two that Andy Boos has seemed to love for a couple of years now. But you know, KO, you know, Kiana Nduglia was running with the first team when I saw him today, for a snippet of what they showed first team defense. It would not shock me. He was a heck of an athlete from Mount Carmel. I think that he can do a lot of things in pass coverage, in the middle of the field. Can he fit the run the way that they want to fit the run? Because I know Dylan Rosiak, I know Rosie can do that. So they have the ability to do that. The secondary is completely wide open. I have an idea of who's going to be back there. We know Taz Nicholson's going to be back there. We pretty much know Demetrius Hill is going to be back there, the freshman All-American from Florida International who transferred in the portal. We think he's going to be back there. We know in week one, we're pretty sure Matt Bailey's not going to be back there because he's still in a boot as of today, and that injury continues to linger. I think they're going to get him back before the end of, you know, week two, but I don't know that. And they seem really, really confident that they can just plug him in and play him immediately because of the way he understands the defense and the reps that he got last fall as a backup to Sidney Brown in that safety spot. I'm not as confident. I mean, he played 15% of the snaps according to Pro Football Focus. He did a heck of a job producing numbers in those 15% snaps, Mike, but I just don't know how you can look at somebody like that and go, well, yeah, of course, we can just plug him and play him. Maybe I'm wrong, and if Matt Bailey proves me wrong, then more power to him, but I don't have that level of confidence. I'm interested in what they do opposite of Taz Nicholson at corner, because you have Tyler Strain, who played last year, but he's really, really small, and he's never going to get any bigger. He's just going to get more aggressive, and I know Aaron Henry likes him a lot, but I think Caleb Patterson, the junior college transfer that they got from Mississippi, is long. He's 6'2". He can play. I think he has the potential to challenge not only for that spot, but possibly the nickel corner spot that I think is going to get, you know, eaten up by Xavier Scott, who also played late in the year. And you saw play late in the year when Taz Nicholson got hurt, play that opposite corner. I think he'll play the nickel. But the secondary is where you go, look, they just lost three guys to the NFL. And then they lost four returning starters, if you count Kendall Smith, and you have to. Three of them went to the NFL and are going to play. So Illinois is still not capable of just plugging and playing dudes like that. And so I have a lot of questions about the secondary still, only because these guys just haven't had the kind of reps that you would want them to have. But
neither did Kirby Joseph, you know, so.
No, he didn't. And that's the thing, is that these guys could be really, really good. It's just,
the bank on it.
Well, and you also would want to play, you know, you'd want to play Illinois State in week one, right? You don't want to put these guys in a situation where in week one, they're facing the MAC champions who can throw it and pass it, you know, really well and like to put up a lot of points. You don't want to have them go to Kansas and play a really dynamic quarterback like that in week two on the road. You don't want to have them play, a possible all Big Ten quarterback when you come back on Big Noon Kickoff on Fox when you play Penn State. You know, those are your first three games, and that's a hell of a, you know, make your mark, fellas, kind of deal with the secondary. But I do think that, you know, Aaron Henry being their coordinator is helpful in the sense that, you know, he can look at the defense through, you know, their eyes and show them why, what makes them important in this defense. That's a new element as well. I think he got a lot of experience coordinating and calling that defense with Ryan Walters gone. He got a lot of experience in that bowl game, calling it against Mississippi State and calling it against the air raid. That was a really good experience for Aaron Henry, but I do think he needs to show it again that he can be the caretaker of this defense, because Ryan Walters built one heck of a standard here in Champaign. And I'm not sure that they're going to look schematically the same simply because I know that Aaron, well, you know, agreeing with what Ryan on a lot of things, I don't know if he feels like in the back five, he can play as, quite frankly, he can play as much man as Ryan Walters insisted that they play. Because that's just what Walt does. I mean, and that's what he's going to do at Purdue. Whether they have the personnel or not, this is the style of play that I'm going to dictate that we play here at Purdue for other people to look at and say, hey, this is what I want you to play. That's what he did at Illinois. That's what he did at Missouri. And it's been a mixed bag of results for Walt when he's had the personnel, it's been great. When he hasn't, it's been kind of shaky. Aaron Henry has at least verbally kind of said, hey, we might play a little more zone. We might play a little bit more, you know, take what you can, you know, not give up too much in the secondary, knowing that we've got a lot of those guys up front that can go get the quarterback and play a lot of, you know, cause a lot of problems behind the line of scrimmage in the run game. So that's kind of what Illinois is banking on, at least early on. I feel like this team is deeper than Brett Bielema's teams have ever been. There's just a lot of inexperience and a lot of questions that we don't have answers for, because we just don't get to see a whole lot of team action. And I don't know what they're looking like right now in terms of, offense or defense.
So special teams, what are we hearing about the punting and the kicking?
Well, I was told during local media day that Caleb Griffin's going to get a shot to do what I call the triple crown. I don't think he's going to do it. I think they're going to let Caleb try to win the starting job in all three. I talked to Robbie Disher Tuesday afternoon, and he was like, look, I've told Caleb that if he's the best one in all three, he'll start in all three. The problem is that we all know that Caleb got a severe lower body injury last year. And if he tries this and an injury happens, look, Illinois is deeper than they were last year. Don't get me wrong. They just don't want that to happen, because quite frankly, I think they feel really good about Caleb, first of all, on kickoff. And they feel pretty good about Caleb on field goal. And they don't want to lose that for the idea that, you know, I think Hugh Robertson, when Hugh Robertson isn't shanking the ball or kicking it into the butt of one of his up men, he was pretty good last year. I know that's hard for people to convince, but like, he had two games in which Illinois lost the game essentially because he flubbed it. He had two shanks against Indiana and they lost that game. He had the butt kick against Michigan State and they lost that game. But Mike, in the last three games of the season, and I think a lot of people point to that last punt they had against Michigan in front of a 25, 30 mile an hour wind. And we're like, well, you flubbed that one too. He didn't really flub that one. I wish everybody could understand what the wind was doing on that game. He almost should have rugby kicked it. And I think it would have been he would have been better off. But in the last three games, Mike, he did have a 64-yarder in that game when he was punting the other way. So, like, if you needed evidence of how the wind was going that day in Ann Arbor. But, Mike, in the last three games, he did have, you know, an average of 45 yards or more in all three of those games, Michigan, Northwestern, and the bowl game against Mississippi State. So I think that if he can get more – if he can just be average, if his bad becomes average – I think Hugh Robertson's going to be just fine. What I think special teams wise, Mike, quickly to wrap this up, is that I think the hiring of Robbie Disher changes the dynamic a little bit. I think they're going to be a little bit more aggressive on special teams. I don't think you're going to see the kick returners arm in the air much. That's not what he's done with Willie Fritz, either at Sam Houston State or at Tulane. He does like using starters in the return game. I have seen Pat Bryant. I have seen Reggie Love. I have seen 240-pound Josh McCray take kickoff returns, and I am so intrigued by the idea of using him in kickoff returns. But I think they're going to be dynamic, and I think he's going to try to be aggressive. I talked to George McDonald about this, the wide receivers coach. He's all for it. He's like, look, if we're starting from the 40, I can sit Isaiah for a play. I can sit Pat Bryant for a play and get them a blow and then get them back in. If that's going to be our field position, I think field position and treating kickoff returns like their offense is something that Robbie Disher has brought to this unit. We know Isaiah Williams is going to be the punt returner, and I think he's going to try to be even more dynamic this year. So I think from a return game, they feel pretty good. I think they've got a lot of depth in terms of what they want in their special teams units. They're using a lot of dynamic athletes all over the field in that regard. You have a fourth string, maybe even fifth string running back in Caden Fegan, who's on punt and kick. And I think he'll at least do it for four games until they have to make the decision on the red shirt. So they have a lot of more depth, and they have a lot of guys, you know, knocking on the door of Robbie Disher's special teams room, trying to get into those teams. And quite frankly, in my experience, the more starters you have on special teams and can do it that way, the better the team usually is. So I think the hiring of Robbie Disher has made this all of those units really a lot more aggressive. And I think that that's something that Brett Bielema wanted going into the offseason, and I think he found it.
Yeah, there's a it's interesting. The depth is so different than what we've had in the recent past. And it really, you know, again, they're not Michigan. They're not Ohio State. But you can see how much easier this game is to play when you've got people that are chomping on the bit to get in there. And those people who are chomping on the bit on the bench are talented. And Illinois is starting to build that with the type of recruiting that Brett Bielema has done. And we also would expect that the recruiting, as the winds lift, so will the star rankings, and he'll get his bite of the apple there as well. So the last area I wanted to talk about here is how is Illinois doing on the injury front? Because that's obviously McCray's the best example. I was so excited about him last year and just the injury bug bit. And as soon as he was feeling good, it bit again. How's the team doing this year?
Well, as you would expect, we've now entered the second week of preseason camp, and the population in the injury pit has increased. And when you start scrimmaging like they did last Friday night, and you start putting on full pads and you start at least thumping, they're not tackling to the ground. Nobody ever does that anymore. But they're thudding. You're going to get this. Like I said, Zy Chrysler's in a boot right now. Do I know if that's serious? I don't know. He was on the exercise bike while he was on a boot. He can be back by the time the season opener happens. The Matt Bailey injury, to me, it seems like, look, Matt Bailey had a problem when I saw him in Illini Pro Day, okay? That seems like there was a setback there, Mike. And so I just don't think that's a reoccurring injury or something that he did wrong. But Matt Bailey is off the crutches. So he's now gotten off the wheelie bike. He's now gotten off crutches, and now he's just in a boot. If they're serious about just plugging and playing Matt Bailey, he could be back by week two. And so I think that that's a reasonable expectation. And I think that's just to be exciting for everybody who wants more, you know, experienced reps in that secondary. Trust me. If Zy Chrysler can get back, yeah, then you have six guys that Bart Miller has to figure out who my starting five is. And we'll go back to that again. But that's more depth, right? Here's what I'll say about the depth. Injury-wise, I think they're everywhere else they're fine. Zach Barlev had something, but he's back fully healthy on the offensive line. There's probably your seventh offensive lineman that they think can play all three spots that will probably travel. He's fine. The tight end room's gotten a little bumpy. Henry Boyer, like I said, is injured. But, you know, Griffin Moore has been pretty good. Tanner Arkin has been pretty good in the tight end room. They're led by a guy who was, you know, a tight end watch list candidate. And so that's not really all that affected. The Josh McCray thing, I just want him to stay healthy, because his freshman year, he couldn't stay healthy, and he had a good year freshman year, but he still couldn't stay healthy. Last year was a flat wash because of what happened in the opener, and he never could get back. I just want it for Josh McCray. What I'll say about the injury front is, Jordan Anderson is back fully healthy, and he's going to compete with Aiden Loffrey for that number three running back spot behind Reggie Love and Josh McCray. It's good to see Jordan back. So he's fully healthy. What I'll say about the depth and mixed with the injuries, Mike, is that you talk about Illinois not being Michigan and not being Ohio State and not being Notre Dame and all those types of programs in the Midwest. There's a four-star tailback named Caden Fegan who's probably fourth on the depth chart, maybe fifth. And he's a four-star guy who was one of the highest-ranked recruits in the 2023 class. And Brett Bielema is kind of going, just learn the playbook. It's going to be all right. Like, we'll wait on you. Like, and so that doesn't normally happen at Illinois. I can't remember the last time that has happened at Illinois, where they're willing to wait a year or more on a four-star kid that is highly ranked. So that's good. Brett Bielema feels great about the quarterback room. If Luke Altmaier, something were to happen to him, we should say this. I think John Paddock is the backup, which I've totally flipped my thinking on that. I went into this fall camp thinking Donovan Leary was going to win the backup job. I still think he possibly could. But I think that they're you know, look, they tipped their hand a little bit with what they showed the media today in Tuesday afternoon's practice. John Paddock was taking second team reps, at least in the drill that I saw. And in the individual drills, he was second in line. I think they feel good about a guy who started 12 games for Ball State last year. But I went to Indianapolis and I heard Brett Bielema talk about that quarterback room, Mike. So they have Luke Altmaier, who they feel good about. I don't know how that, why they wouldn't. They have a guy who started 12 games for Ball State and John Paddock. Helps that he's an Illinois legacy, so he doesn't have to eat up a scholarship. He's a walk-on. And then they have a high three-star guy in Donovan Leary as their number three quarterback. Illinois never had that before. Illinois absolutely never had that before. Brett Bielema has talked about how Art Sitkowski basically saved their rear three times. You know, the first game that Brett Bielema ever coached, you were there, Mike, when they beat Nebraska and Art had to come off the bench, had to do like Brandon Peters had to do it again. You know, had to do it in the Penn State game that Art started. And then you're talking about the Iowa game last year where Art has to come off the bench for Tommy DeVito and they win the game. You know, I think that Illinois has that ability to withstand something drastic happening in the middle of a game to Luke Altmaier. God forbid that ever happens. And I don't know the last time they've been able to say that. So Brett feels great about the quarterback room. I think they have eight offensive linemen that they feel pretty good about traveling with right now, which is a pretty high number. Again, my concern is the secondary. I know Aaron Henry loves his guys, and I think that they could be really, really good. They just have never put anything on tape in front of me that gives me anything but pause. But when toe hits leather on September 2nd against Toledo, they could look great. Because like you said, Mike, I didn't know what Kirby Joseph was going to look like after he converted to from wide receiver to DB, and he looked pretty darn good. So I think Aaron Henry has the ability to mold these guys into what he needs them to do. And they haven't that unit, meaning corners and secondaries and nickels, safeties and nickels. I'm sorry. They haven't, you know, haven't had a whole bunch of a rash of injuries. So that's good news too, other than Matt Bailey. So everybody else has been pretty healthy. I think they've done, here's the other thing, Mike, in terms of injuries, I'll get out on this, is that they know they don't have a bye. They don't have a bye week until week, I think 9 weeks of play. So I think Brett Bielema has really organized fall camp in a way that I'm just trying to keep my guys healthy. More yeah. importantly, I'm trying to keep them healthy. I don't need to do the old school stuff and beat the hell out of them so that like three of my starters drop before we play the MAC champions on September 2nd. That's and also I don't need three starters to drop before we play our first eight games of the year and we get a break, you know? And so the schedule working out the way it does, I think has molded this fall camp into being a little less physical and a little bit more on the board teaching, which is, I think, what this group needed.
Yeah. It sounds like I said, this, you really worry about the injury bug. I don't care who you are. You don't want to risk that. It sounds like, the team has really got things in a good place after 10 practices here. And we are looking forward to a fantastic opening weekend, 6:30 kickoff on Saturday, September 2nd. We will have the Illini guys and OSF advocate tailgate that'll be starting somewhere around noonish out there in Grange Grove. We will also have the night before the game on September 1st, Friday night, Guido's, 7 p.m., $20 cover charge, and you'll get a little bite to eat and a drink. But I will tell you, last year was fantastic because we got to see Marcus Griffin, one of the big guys from Bill Self's 2001 team, argue with Kenny Battle that the 2001 team was too big for the Flying Illini to handle. Kenny left the scene. Poor D. Brown was next, as Marcus told him that the 2001 team was also too big for the 04-05 national championship team to deal with. So it was a fun evening to watch those debates going on. And of course, you had Illini legends like David Williams and Craig Swope there. We expect to have a lot of Illini, quote, royalty or legends, unquote, there in attendance. Please make sure you decide to stop by. You can go to IlliniGuys.com and register ahead of time for that, or you can bring some money and come to Guido's and meet a lot of people there. And of course, Obviously, Matt and Ked will be there along with myself, Larry, Brad, and there might be some other Illini guys. We might even try to talk Sturm into getting over from his haunt over in Springfield area. But we'll get as many there as we can. Matt?
I want to jump in quick because I remember last year's where our friend on the Fighting Illini Network on WDWS, Brian Barnhart, who we have our Illini Sports Spectacular on that network. Brian showed up at Guido's last year, I remember, and told me exactly. And I, you know, we don't get to watch a whole lot during the season, guys. Yep. I'm going to give you a little hint. Brian sat there and told me how the barge package came to be, which was literally, so Brett Bielema does his radio, and the story goes is Brett Bielema was doing his radio show in front of Brian Barnhart, and literally like gets a bar napkin and goes, here's what we're going to line up with. They'll never know what hit him. And literally just on a bar napkin and takes a pen out and just starts doodling the barge package. And Brian looked at him and said, is that legal? Like, can you do that? Really? And so, yeah, the barge package was essentially birthed on the practice field, but it was hinted at. So the radio guy would know what the heck was going on, I think, on the Thursday night before the Penn State game, before they left for Penn State. And Brian Barnhart sitting there telling me the story going like, Matt, I didn't think that this was legal. And he says, and even when they came out with it at first in State College and I'm calling it on the radio, I'm going, I don't know if this is legal. Like, I kept waiting for the flag to come out. So yeah, Brian was there. I'm thinking he'll make an appearance again, possibly. And there are other people that, you know, you may not get a chance to ever meet at Guido's. And I encourage you to do so, because obviously I've been on this beat for a while, but everybody that I've dealt with, you know, pretty much on this beat, whether they're colleagues or people that are deal with the Fighting Illini athletics in general, are usually pretty solid yep. peeps.
Yeah. And it's usually a good time. I mean, you don't get any nicer than Brian Barnhart.
No.
Can't guarantee he'll be there, but I'd be surprised if he's not. You know, maybe mm-hmm. maybe we'll be on Steve Kelly and Lauren Tate's show. Larry and I will be in the morning, the next morning. So maybe we can get him to stay out past 8 o'clock and come out and to Guido's the night.
You
got to
get up pretty early for that show. I got to give you credit for doing that, sucker. No, I've done that. I've done that with Steve and Lauren. I've played golf with Steve and Lauren. You got to get up pretty early to get on that show. So I give you guys credit in the world for doing that. That was one of the
highlights of last year when we did, I got on the Saturday morning show. And you have to remember, folks, when I was mowing a lawn in Mahomet in 1981 or 82, listening to Lauren Tate on his show back in the day with, I believe it was probably Turpin back in those days, but anyway,
it was Jim. It was Jim Turpin.
Yeah. So to be on the show talking with Lauren Tate is something that I never thought would happen. So it's a highlight for Larry and I. You know, we grew up huge fans of Tate in particular and Turpin. So it's exciting. So that opening weekend is going to be a lot of fun. And then of course, you know, you've got the Kansas game, which is going to be one of the scarier games in Illinois history. Always seems like you get that tough road game in a year that you hope Illinois is really good. And then to make the degree of difficulty even more challenging, you turn around and have to play Penn State with Fox bringing their big noon show to Champaign. And then the week after that's FAU. When FAU is your breather, That's a tough schedule. So if the Illini can come out of this 3-1 at the end of the first month of games, that tells you what kind of team that is being dealt with, because there are no weak sisters on this schedule this year.
No, there's not. And I agree with you, Mike. I think that there's a lot of confidence in the building, but I heard Brett Bielema say this, and he's not, look, you know, our friend and colleague at the line, I guess Kedrick Prince will say this a lot. That's coach speak. I'm telling you, this is not coach speak. Brett Bielema looked me straight in the face and said, I see 12 games on our schedule. We can win all 12 of them. We can lose all 12 of them. Like that's legit. And I think that, you know, we're going to learn a lot about this team early on. And I think that, I think this team feels like they're in a good spot. I feel like this team feels like they're in a good place to be ready to play on September 2nd, because they're going to have to be, Mike. I'm going to give you a little clue that unless I see something different over the next 2 weeks, you know, Illinois right now, I think, what are they, a 10.5 point favorite? I'm probably going to take Toledo to cover that game. They are really good, Mike. They're really, really good. This Kansas offense is really, really good. When their quarterback is healthy, they're really, really good. But I do think, here's what I think I've noticed, and I've mentioned it to Bielema over the first couple of weeks of camp. Mike, I know that you know this doesn't really make a whole lot of difference sometimes, but I think at Illinois sometimes maybe it will. This team just looks better. And I don't, you know what I'm like? I think a lot of football-ish people know what I'm talking about. And the common phrase is, well, they're going to get off the bus and look great. I think Illinois is going to get off the bus and look a lot different than they have a lot, you know, over the years. I just do. I think when you look at the length that they have on defense, you look at the, you know, big body people that they have on offense, you look at that running back room and look at the body transformations that have happened through personnel in that running back room. They just look different, Mike. And I'm telling you, I think this team is physically capable of being a bully Big Ten team more than any Illinois has ever been in a long, long time. And I think that shows. I think you look at the offensive line and you can see how this team is going to be physically better than a lot of teams, at least getting off the bus. You look at the length of a Gabe Yakus, a Seth Coleman, the law firm. You even look at some of the length that they have in the secondary. That's untested, but it's long. Like Matthew Bailey is long. Demetrius Hill is long. You know, I mentioned, you know, Caleb Patterson, who's 6'2", 6'3". Xavier Scott is 6'2", 6'3". They're long. They can play. These linebackers have length, and they make it a nightmare for quarterbacks. These outside linebackers that Charlie Bullen's coaching, they're just long, and they're big up front. They are so much better near the football than Illinois has ever been. A lot of that goes to the law firm. A lot of that goes to the left side of the line. But guys that you don't even know yet, I think, are really, really going to impress you when you see them getting off the bus. Bielema has talked about it. He says, I don't know how we're going to play, but we look damn good. And I have to, you know, look at Illinois and go, there's not, Mike, I'll end with this, is there's not a position group where you watch the 30 minutes that we get to watch and you go, boy, I think physically they're a little behind on in that regard. And I don't see them immediately being physically behind the schools that they need to compete with in this Big Ten and honestly in a future Big Ten that's coming down the pipe.
Yeah, I think this team, you know, really Ron Zook. Now, I don't know that man could coach his way out of a wet paper bag, but when he brought athletes to Illinois and that team looked like, you know, a Rose Bowl team. And you had, of course, you go back to the Makovic and White Illini. Those guys look like they were, you know, they were going to put some pain on people. And it's about time that Illinois comes back to that. I just, as much as early on, I was not certain. I just think Brett Bielema is a better coach than any of those guys. Now we'll find out, because you got to prove it and put the numbers up. But you know, Makovic would have been very formidable over the years, but Bielema is a better recruiter than Makovic was. Mike White had the great offense, but he also had a propensity to stretch the rules a little bit. And then the worst part about that was you can't get caught when you do that. Yeah. So I don't have a problem with cheating. I just don't think you should get caught when you're doing it. I'm very much product of pro wrestling.
You're a product of Bobby the Brain Heenan, aren't you?
You know, Hulk Hogan was the first wrestler who was ever really a good guy who won by doing the bad guy stuff. You know, Hulk Hogan would you know, dig at a guy's eyes. He would hit him with chairs. As long as the bad guy started it, Hulk Hogan would then go to 11 and finish it. So, you know, I'm kind of a victim of that era, but the bottom line is Brett Bielema's got this team raring to go. And if you want great coverage of it, you know, Matt's over in Champaign every day. and he's you know, there talking to the players, talking to the coaches. You know, when you get to game day, you'll have Brad and myself and Matt and Ked. Ked will be looking at the recruiting and who's coming to visit and how those things went. We'll have coverage all over the place, and we're excited about it. So please, this, if you're going to subscribe to IlliniGuys.com, now is the time. And oh, by the way, Matt hinted on this, but at the Sports Spectacular, we're going to have a guy by the name of Gabe Yakas. I think he's a pretty good player. He's going to be on every week to talk.
According
to
Bruce Feldman, he's a freak. And I can tell you, I can verify he's a freak. He's a physical freak.
And we'll see how well he thinks on his feet when he's got Brad and I, you know, having fun too, you know. So we're going to keep him on his toes. We'll see how quick he is. And most likely we'll be really nice because we don't want to get within hand's reach and then get squished.
Yeah, I don't
think
you want to physically rally up Gabe Yakas.
Yeah, we're not going to get him all riled up. But it's going to be awesome for Illini fans to hear about that. We've obviously got, Adalia McKenzie on. The original Illini girl, and Marcus Domask is also going to be on the show on a regular basis. So we are going, folks, the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular starting this weekend, depending on where you're at, on Friday, August 18th or Saturday, August 19th. It is the first show of our third season. So we've been around now for 2 years. We're starting the third year. We're really, really excited about it. So hold on and listen to this, and we'll be right back. Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across this great nation, or halfway across the planet, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Whether it's game results or what's going on in recruiting behind the scenes, IlliniGuys.com covers it. Only $99 a year, and you get a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com. Click the register button that's right next to the 7-day free trial, and we'd love to have you as a subscriber. IlliniGuys.com. And this is Mike Kegley. I want to put a big thank you out to Matt Stevens, who has spent a lot of the day doing reporting on the football team and then was willing to come and talk to us about what's going on the Illini football field. There is a ton of excitement, folks, and we are so, so ready for the season to start. You don't want to wish time away, but when you see this football team that Brett Bielema and his staff have assembled, it is exciting to be an Illini fan. And that is the first time in a long time we've been able to say that. And boy, it would be great to go with back-to-back winning seasons. It has been a long time that since the Illini have been able to do that. And we would love to see the team, you know, have success, 8-win season last year, to follow it up with a winning season this year would be really, really important for that Illini football team. And it would be something that would really help out on the recruiting front as well. So it's something that Illini fans will certainly be waiting for and got their fingers crossed. And of course, behind that, you've got the basketball program, who's just come back from a 3-game winning streak in Spain. We got Coach Underwood and his team fired up, ready to go. This team is one of the most athletic that he's been able to put together. And he's already had a team that's won the Big Ten Conference title in the regular season and in the one that's won it in the tournament. So there's two seasons that are super exciting. Join IlliniGuys.com. It's the time to do it. Seek out the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular on your radio. It's going to be great. We're really looking at that opportunity now to go with 2 winning seasons in a row in the football program. That would take us all the way back to 1989 when the team went 10-2 and then finished the next year, 1990, at 8-4. So it's been a long time since Illinois has been able to do that and put together. That was actually the third of a winning season, as they went 6-5-1 in 88. But it's been a long time since Illinois put those type of numbers together. I think Brett Bielema is the guy, and his staff is totally locked in. And these players have put in the time that's necessary to be ready to go out there and compete against some darn good teams. And IlliniGuys.com, Eye on the Illini, and Illini Guys Sports Spectacular will be there to cover it. Thank you so much, and we look forward to hearing you next week. Go Illini.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.